Page Pegim on top 314. We're going to start the figure 2, 4, 6, 7 lines in the top. Now the Rebbe is in the middle of explaining that based on what we learned before, we can understand what the pasuk says, Ani Hashem Leishemisi, I am Hashem, that absolutely there's no change in Hashem. Now the Rebbe is basically asking the question, how can you say there's no change in Hashem if before there was no world and now there is a world? Yet we say in davening, Atohu Kedem Shenivra Olam, Atohu Mishenivra Olam. The same way God, you existed before the world, the same way you existed after the world. Okay? That means there's no change in Hashem. So the Rebbe is explaining why. Because world is only an extension of God. The world is Hashem. Because even the level of Malchus, that's the level of godliness that we learned before, that creates world, but Malchus is one thing with Hashem. And therefore, unlike what we learned last week, unlike people, that when you learn something, there's a change in you before you know it, or after you know it, because before you know it, you knew it, you didn't know it, and now you know it, so there's a change in you, you had more knowledge now than you had before. Or by most people, you have less knowledge because you forget more than you, you forget more than you know. So in those cases, there's a change in the person. But that's only because what I know is not me, and therefore what I know is becoming added to me. Like he quotes the Rambam. If a person learns science, there's the person, there's the knowing, and there's the knowledge. Science is not the person. So therefore, if I didn't know the science, and now I know the science, there's a change in me. Before I didn't know it, and now I know it. And Hashem, as he's explaining, there's nothing outside of Hashem. If there's nothing outside of Hashem, by Hashem knowing himself, he automatically knows everything. So there's nothing outside of Hashem to say, even now that there is a world. That world seems to be a separate entity, is only as far as we are concerned, from our perspective. But the realistic concept is, world doesn't change Hashem at all, because world never left Hashem, world is only Hashem, and that's it. So there's nothing else but Hashem, and if there's nothing else but Hashem, there's no change in Hashem before the world or after the world, because there is no difference. There is no world, as far as Hashem is concerned, there's only Hashem.
And what's the difference between when Hashem, before Hashem created the world? There has to be some difference. Hashem created the world, right? You know what I'm saying?
The only change could be if it's something that affects Hashem. Something that doesn't affect Hashem doesn't cause a change.
Then why did he do it?
Because he wanted, like we learned 2 times ago, he wanted to be a melech, and a melech b'lay am. So Hashem had to create a world that seems, in its own opinion, not in Hashem's opinion, in its own opinion, to be something separated from God, as a separate entity, that subjugates itself to Hashem.
Why did he decide just then?
Nisava Kodesh Baruch Hu, Fataiva, you don't ask any questions.
So
it wasn't that he decided then. Now you have to understand, there's another major point you're missing here. We learned already the famous question, really the Rambam says it, but there's a famous question that the Maggid asked. Why did Hashem create the world 5,765 years ago, and a half years ago? Why didn't Hashem create the world earlier? Why didn't Hashem create the world 1 million years ago, 1 billion years ago? Why did Hashem create the world 5,765? So that Mitzvah Rebbe Siddur, brings down that the Mekubalim answered that, you know, Tzimtzum took time, and everything took time, and all the concealments took time. So by the time Hashem got around to it, that's when the world was created. So the Maggid asks him that. So why didn't Hashem begin those things earlier? He should have started the Tzimtzum earlier. Correct? So the Maggid says that the real answer is time began when world did. Before the world, there is no time. The definition of time is how long something exists. Before there's existence, there is no time. So you can't ask a question, why didn't Hashem create the world earlier? There is no earlier. Before that world, there is no... Time began 5,765 years ago.
He could have made time begin before then.
Nope. Time began when time began. There was no concept of time before. To give you an example, everybody knows, we'll learn more about it now. Tzimtzum HaRishon, yeah? Massive Big Bang that Hashem Leibishter removed his infinite revelation and concealed himself, yeah? The question, what year did that happen? I'm going to rephrase the question to ask it in a similar way.
5,765 years ago.
No. No. I'll ask you a different question. How many miles up is Gan Eden? 5 miles? I'm asking you, how many miles up is Gan Eden? And how many feet down is Gehenna? Everybody says 6 feet, but, you know, 6 feet, the world would be pretty hot if Gehenna would be 6 feet under the earth. How many miles up is Gan Eden? When was Shvirah Sekelim of Tehu? When Hashem broke the vessels of Tehu, what year did that happen? Let me tell you a little secret. Tzimtzum HaRishon is going on now, and Shvirah Sekelim is going on now, because these things are all above time. You can't ask when something which is above time, when did it happen, if there's no time. When is automatically the concept of time, past, present, and future. Did it happen past, present, or future? Something which is not limited, and by the way, if you don't understand, don't worry, because Alter Rebbe writes, we can't understand what does it mean, the Rambam also says, we can't understand what does it mean, a concept above time, because our minds are limited in time and place. We cannot understand nothingness. You know that? We cannot understand nothingness. In our mind, you know what nothingness is? You walk into a room and it's an empty room. That's nothingness. But the room is far from empty. There's air, there's molecules, there's atoms, there's airwaves, there's microwaves, there's whatever you want. There's zillions of things in the room. To picture what absolute nothingness is, we have no comprehension what it is. Okay? When Hashem decided that one day Hashem woke up and said, hey, let me make a world. There is no time up there.
If the
Shefiras
HaKelim is still going on now, then you can never be finished being
Mavarnas Yitzchak. There is continuous
Avedis
HaBirim to Mashiach.
Isn't there some Inyan that they're already all collected?
Not. Most of them were elevated when the Jews left Egypt.
Isn't there something that the Rebbe said that it's all done? That particular thing is all done?
Okay. Forget this a second.
Okay.
Does God continuously create the world every second?
Yes.
So why do you get older? Brilliant question. It's an unbelievable, the question why nobody asked. Why nobody asked the question? We're learning Shaykh of Amun already for a few months, and we're learning the whole concept that there's continuous creation. Hashem is continuously creating the world from new every second. Right? So then nobody should age. So what's the answer? What's the obvious...
That moment as it is.
Oh. So what's the answer? Hashem is recreating the world, but based on what it was a second earlier, a minute earlier, an hour earlier. Right? Shvirah HaKelim is going out with the Birun, though, that this happened already. Person passes away, the Neshama goes to Gan Eden. Yeah? If you would build a concrete block over the person, will the Neshama not go to Gan Eden?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
What is it? It goes up. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. It's spiritual dimensions. Correct?
Okay.
Spiritual dimensions are different than physical dimensions. We mentioned last time, if you want to measure the depth of an ocean, you measure it by feet. How many feet deep is the ocean? How many feet deep is the pit? If you say somebody has a very deep head, What do you mean? This guy's a 10-foot deep head, and this guy's a 12-foot deep head, so has a deeper head. It's different measuring rod, right? When you say somebody has a very big heart, what does it mean, a big heart? It is 4 feet big versus a half a foot, whatever the size of a heart is. It's, you're talking about different dimensions.
So God maybe doesn't take up any kind of space like we understand it?
It's a spiritual dimension. There is no freeway that has an exit for Gan Eden. At that time it was a physical Gan Eden. And then they were to remove it and made it into Ruchnius. But there is no city called Gan Eden that takes up a certain, you know, in Hawaii, that takes up certain space over there.
Really,
I know that.
But when I ask a question,
what?
When Hashem says that Mashiach is supposed to come, is it on our time span, or is it when Eris is?
The Mashiach is a physical concept.
Not that it's not a physical concept, but the time frame.
No, 6,000 years is time.
Our clock, our time,
our time and place.
And place.
Yeah, Mashiach's not coming to Gan Eden.
No, because what I'm saying, you know, when the Rebbe says Mashiach's coming any minute, a minute by Hashem is, you know, is a long time. Time-wise, is there such a thing as...
Because 1,000 years in Hashem's, by us is a day. Now, they tell a story, a guy once came to Hashem and he said, God, you have so much money. You have so much, so what's the big deal? You give me a few million, you know, you have some money. You know, and for you it's nothing. So God said, okay, wait a few days. In a few thousand years you should wait. Wait a few days. We have to learn, and we said this, Temach Tzedek said this in Shesh Mitzvah Tefillah. In Dechem Tzisech, the Temach Tzedek explained it. When you learn this, you have to be able to hafshit hadvarim migash miyusim. You have to be able to separate these spiritual concepts from the physicality of our brain. Gan Eden is not a physical dimension. Gan Eden, Atzilus, Bria Yetzirasiya, is a spiritual awareness of God. If you have an unbelievable awareness of God, that's the level of Atzilus. If you have a lesser awareness of God, it's called Bria. A lesser awareness of God is Yetzira, and so on. But that difference of Atzilus, Bria Yetzira Nasiya, is, as Alter Rebbe explains over here, is only as far as we are concerned. As far as Hashem is concerned, there is no difference between Atzilus, Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya. The difference is how much we perceive godliness. If you perceive Him more like Tzaddikim do, they are in the world that are called the Neshama of Atzilus. Down here, they feel the world of Atzilus. If you feel less, it's Bria. If you feel less, it's Gan Eden, is Bria and Yetzirah. Higher Gan Eden, lower Gan Eden. It's a level of a neshama's awareness of God. Okay, it's not a level, a physical dimension of a whole bunch of souls running around.
So, like when, say, like in Rishus, when the Bnei Yisrael could like taste Gan Eden and thing or smell Gan Eden, that's because their neshamas were so high and were on those levels.
Correct.
When Mashiach comes, will there be a physical Gan Eden? Will there be a physical?
No, there'll be greater than Gan Eden.
It'll still be in a spiritual...
Well, the Chassidus proves the concept. The Ovis, the Moshe Rabbeinu, you know how long they're in Gan Eden for? 3,500 years, yeah? Lerech. They're all waiting to come back, Tchias HaMesim and Hashem and Aguf. Gan Eden is only a revelation of godliness. Mashiach, and especially Tchias HaMesim, is the essence of godliness. You can't compare the two. That's why those guys waiting in Gan Eden are waiting to come back for Tchias HaMesim. Because Gan Eden is Zir HaShechina, and Mashiach, which is brought about by our Tshuva Meisim Tev Be'elam HaZeh, is better Sho'achas than the whole Elam Abba, because there, here you get essence.
And how are the Neshamas going to be able to handle staying in the group when they're exposed to Etzem HaVashem?
Because the goof is going to be a higher level than the neshama.
I never get that.
It's a very simple concept. The goof is really higher than the neshama.
Because it comes from a higher source.
Right. So the goof, when Mashiach comes, it says now the body sustains itself from the neshama. When Mashiach comes, the neshama is going to sustain itself from the guf. The body is going to be greater. But that's why it's going to be the neshama dafke in a guf, the ultimate tzchad, not like the Rambam, who says that it's only going to be a neshama without a guf, but chassidus and Kabbalah hold like the Ramban. The Ramban holds the ultimate tzchad is a neshama in a guf, because then you'll have the essence of godliness rather than the ray of godliness. Because even the level that the neshama has when the body passes away, okay, and the neshama retains its spiritual, doesn't die, it has the level of godliness of the ray of the Shekhinah based on how much Torah mitzvahs it did. If it did more Torah mitzvahs, it has a greater ray. If it had less Torah mitzvahs, it has lesser ray. But that is only as far as the spiritual sensation of a spiritual relationship with God. The Rebbe, there's a letter from the Rebbe who, somebody lost a member of the family, and the Rebbe wrote, and they were very depressed from it, and the Rebbe wrote him a letter. And the Rebbe writes in the letter, basically, the Nakuda is that if you have a child, I think somebody lost a child, whatever, but the Rebbe writes that if you have a child that goes away to school in the other end of the world, so even though you physically don't see them, the love of them you still have. If anything, you have a stronger longing, yearning type of a love that you don't have when they're home. I can tell you a lot of reasons for that, because at home they don't listen and whatever. They make a mess of their room when they're away, they don't mess up their room and they don't answer back chutzpah, they can, you know, they're much better. So, in that respect, the Rebbe writes, the love of the child, or the love of the relative, is not dependent on the physical seeing of them. So the same thing the Rebbe writes, the love of a deceased family member, obviously you don't love their body, you love the person, which is the neshama. That is still there, even though you physically don't see him. That doesn't diminish the level of love to that person. But again, that's a dimension of closeness. There's nothing to do. When you say, I have a close friend, that doesn't mean the mamash hitting you next to you. There could be on the other end of the world, there could be a close friend. What do you mean a close friend? The feelings that you have towards one another is very, very close. There's nothing to do with physical distance. That is the spiritual dimensions of Gan Eden, whether it's Atzilut, Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya, whatever the worlds are, based on the person's awareness and feeling of Elokus. That's if they're on Atzilut or Briya or Yetzirah and Asiya. So neshama, once it leaves the body, meaning the neshama and the body part ways, but the spiritual neshama is all over. But now the neshama has a relationship with God that the body didn't allow it to have while it was alive. Because any way you want to look at it, the body conceals godliness. And that's what the Rebbe explains in the Finges HaKedish in Simen Chav Zayin about the tzaddik's passing away, that when the tzaddik passes away, the Zayah says, Ishtakach yater mi b'chayay. He's alive, he's found in the world more than when he's alive. Because when he's alive, a tzaddik is limited by the body. He can only be in one place. He can't be all over the world at the same time. But now that the tzaddik passes away, and it's only neshama, that neshama of the tzaddik is all over the world at the same time. So it's a closer relationship. But
I'm going back a little bit. We said before that Hashem created the world because He wanted to be a Melech, and there is no Melech in the world.
Right.
So can we say that there is a difference in Hashem before He created the world and to now?
No. Because Him being a king is only on things that they think are separated from Him, but really they're not. Hashem never made things that left Him or changed Him, because everything's only Hashem. The change is only for us. What?
So why did He create the world?
He wanted to. The taiva. No. Misava Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyas Liyas Baruch Dira B'tachtem. And Dalt Rebbe said, if a Taiva Frek Mishkin Kashas. And a Taiva, you can't ask why. Because there is no why. It's above logic.
Are we going to know why Mashiach comes?
We'll get that level of whying. Yeah.
So by your definition here about a tzaddik being all over the world when he passes away, then is it better to be deceased than it is to be here doing the mitzvahs?
No, it's better to be alive because we're physical people. We like to see physical people. We don't like to see spiritual people.
We can't see spiritual people.
Right.
We're physical people.
Why is it such a difficult concept to understand that somebody could be close to a relative who passed away? No, somebody could be very close to a relative that passed away, because the closeness is not a physical closeness, it's a spiritual bond that there is between the deceased and the person who's alive. It's nothing to do with physical.
Like
1 minute. Spiritual is not limited in place. Spiritual is not limited in place. Well, you're talking about a candle. You're talking physical. Spirituality is not confined in physical time and place. There's a story in the Zayar. The Friedrich Rebbe brings it down. It's not down many places in Chassidus. The Friedrich Rebbe brings it down in a Maimer. The Rashbi had a yeshiva in the mountains of Tzfas called the Idra. There was an Idra Rabbe and Idra Zuta, a big yeshiva. The small yeshiva was a yeshiva Mukubolim in the Rashbi's time. And Eliyahu Navi used to come every day to the Idra to learn with the boys. And one day Eliyahu HaNavi didn't show up. So when he came the next day, they said, you have a note from your wife, and from his whatever. A note from your parents. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, why didn't he come to yeshiva? Because yesterday he said, Rav Amnuna Sava, the old Rav Amnuna, the very part of the Idra, was in a danger, and they needed to help him. And therefore I was busy helping him, I couldn't be in the yeshiva. That's what it says in the Zayir. So Chassidus asks, what do you mean? Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Seder. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Bris. Does that say 1,000 Bris in around the world at the same day? So how come he could be in 1,000 Bris and he can't be in the yeshiva and say that Rav Amnuna Sava at the same time? What's the big deal? So Chassidus explains that to say that Rav Amnuna Sava, Eliyahu HaNavi had to come into a goof. And once he came into a goof, he was restricted by the goof and he couldn't be in two places at the same time. But when Eliyahu HaNavi stays Malach and Neshama, whichever way you want to look at it, when Eliyahu HaNavi is as he is without a goof, he's not limited. In that way, he can be every bris at the same time.
Is a regular person Neshama also not limited once they're not in a body? Are they all over the world also?
Yeah.
But a tzaddik is different because...
A tzaddik is different, Dr. Rebbe explains in Tanya, because the whole life of a tzaddik is basically spiritual. So if the tzaddik's life is spiritual, and now spiritually he's less limited, so he's more alive. Because his life is a spiritual life. But the truth in the neshama of every person is all over. All over. Again, we're using physical language for spiritual things. You know the famous vote of the Kuska. Somebody asked him, where's God? So the answer is wherever you let him in. That doesn't contradict, by the way, that God's all over. Right? The question is not where's God. The question is where's God for you? The answer is where you let him in, that's where he is for you. But it's all over. And therefore, from Hashem's perspective, world doesn't exist as a separate entity. World is an extent, is God. And therefore, Ani Hashem Leishanisi, because it can't cause a change in Hashem, because as far as Hashem is concerned, there is no difference. Yes, world or no world, there is no world. It's the same thing. The only difference is as far as we're concerned. From our perspective, there's a difference before world and after world. There's a difference between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The main issue is people have to start thinking that spirituality we cannot think of in physical dimensions. That's all. This that the Torah uses physical language and spiritual concepts is only for us to Dibro Torah, Kolashim B'nei Adam, Torah speaks in human Torah, we should have a little bit of understanding of what it's all about. And that's why when it says Yad Hashem, Hashem doesn't have a hand. When it says Ezba L'kim, Hashem doesn't have a finger. When it says Eini Hashem, it doesn't mean the eyes of God. Eretz Yisrael, Tabit Eini Hashem L'kach B'mereshes Hashem V'adach Rishona. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael is a place where God's eyes look from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Yeah, that means He doesn't look anywhere else. He only looks in Israel. Doesn't He run the world?
No,
there's not a throne that we're talking about. But what does it mean if Hashem's everywhere, equally? I mean, I just suffered it. I'm not sure. What does it mean when you say that, you know, whatever reason somebody is under Hashem's throne, or... Why do you have to krich in Himmel? Why do you have to climb upstairs? Is this Bokoli? It's a safe. Is it holy? Yeah? Why is it holy? Because Hashem's in it, right?
No, because Hashem's name is
different. So what, soul? Is Hashem constantly creating this table?
Yeah.
Is God in the table? Hello?
Yeah.
Is God in the table?
No, you don't
have... Wouldn't God on the table? The whole Shaykh of Emunah is saying the table is God.
Yeah, but it's
not... Now, so what's the difference between the table and the Sefer?
The spirituality, that's not...
Just godliness in the table.
Yeah.
Or
if somebody davens to the table, are they worshipping God or worshipping idols?
You're saying that under Hashem's throne is a level where you're closer.
A greater revelation of godliness is holiness. In a place where there's a lesser revelation of God. Revelation, not existence. Where's God's throne? Where is God's throne? There's a Merkava. Yecheskel speaks about a Merkava, right? Where is the Merkava? How many miles up?
It's a Mashal. So, is there more
spirituality?
Is it a Mashal?
Hashem says, Hashemayim kisi v'haretz adem ragloi. The heaven is my chair, and the earth is my thing that you put your the foot rests.
Yeah.
What does that mean? If you want to shoot Hashem in the head, you have to shoot it to the sky, not in the earth. You only hit His foot. Where's a greater revelation in a person? In their head or in their foot? So a greater revelation is in the heavens. Even Hashemayim Kisi, the heaven is the chair of God. When a person sits on a chair, are they as tall as they are when they're standing? No. They have to come down. Even Hashemayim is a tzimtzum for Hashem. Isn't that the concept of a chair? What's the concept of sitting? When a person sits, what's the difference if they stand or sit? Standing, you're taller than when you're sitting. When you sit, you have to come down. So when Elokus is hidden, it comes down to a lesser revelation. It's called chair.
No, but it's also an idea of kavod that the king sits and everyone else stands.
As in Hashem sits?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, I guess not. Now I have to rephrase it. I know not.
Mm-hmm.
Not I guess not.
Where can you find these concepts specifically?
In Hasidus.
Any text? Where?
All over the place.